You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? It's episode 149, and I have Olympic fever. It's been great. I've been enjoying all of the Olympics, all the events, the main ones, the big stuff, the gymnastics and swimming and track and field and basketball and volleyball, and occasionally the little stuff. Because when you're up in the middle of the night and judo's on, or they're playing badminton or table tennis, and make no mistake, the way they play, it ain't ping pong, it's table tennis. It's all fun to watch. So, first thing I want to do is give a shout out to the American women in this Olympics. These women, in so many sports, in so many ways, have been magnificent and strong and dominant. I mean, from Simone Manuel winning the first black swimmer to win Olympic gold, amazing. And what's more amazing is she's part of the team. She's won on relays. And if you see, you know, we all talk about first black, and it is amazing. And what she's doing, like opening the door and putting an end to that stereotype that black people can't swim and so on, is amazing. But also the fact that when you watch the team celebrate, she's part of the team. There is no, you know, and her. I don't know how to describe it. I absolutely loved watching it, and good for her. And to come from Sugarland, Texas, a place with a history of racism beyond belief, a place where they had a thing called convict leasing, which was basically leasing slaves from the prisons and all the horrible treatment of black people throughout the early 1900s. Forget all that. She won the gold. Simone Biles, her domination of gymnastics, her changing the game, literally new moves named after her, the if you see the power which she runs and jumps, it's, you know, and I joke about gymnastics and how we watch, but honestly, it was just phenomenal to watch her, what she did. You don't have to know a thing about gymnastics to know that she was a game changer. Katie Ledecky. If Katie Ledecky was in the water, a world record's going to be set. The woman can swim 400 meters, 800 meters. Well, it didn't matter. Just the women's swim team, amazing. The women's eight in rowing, gold medal. Michelle Carter, gold medal in shot put. Hey, you throw a shot. I don't even know how to throw a shot put. And she's got a gold medal in shot put. Kayla Harrison, gold medal in judo. The beach volleyball team, Carrie Ross Jennings and April Ross. Carrie Ross Jennings is a beast, okay? And I say that in the most positive way, a monster. But just watching them, these women have done America so proud in this Olympics. Yeah, Hope Solo, the women soccer team lost, and Hope Solo calls Sweden cowards because they played a strategy that you walked into. I'm not even going to let that tarnish what the women have done in the Olympics, but it's been phenomenal and fascinating and fun to watch. And the men, the swimmers, Michael Phelps, honestly, the man is part dolphin, right? I mean, he is. He has to be part dolphin. Listen, a couple of years ago, they jammed up Michael Phelps for smoking weed. I think all the other swimmers would like Michael Phelps to smoke some weed. Might slow him down. I bet they'd buy it. They'd be, hey, Mike, you want some weed? Come on over. We got something for you. Because what he did, not just individually, but in the relays, in both relays, he took the team where it was close. He gave them a big lead. And in the final relay, they were behind by a hair. And when Michael Phelps got finished his leg, they were ahead. The man is amazing. 23 gold medals. You know, I feel bad for any other swimmer born in his era, because you had to go against Michael Phelps, and you're not going to beat the man. He's part dolphin. He's amazing. And again, the U.S. swim team, the entire men's swim team, same thing. Just medal after medal. Just what an amazing performance. How strong is that team? It's beautiful, fascinating to watch. Diving, we still got a ways to go. We're still splashing when we hit the water. We got to learn not to splash. But swimming, we got that. Usain Bolt did it again. Usain Bolt won the 100 meters. He is still the fastest man in the world. This is the third Olympics that he's done this. And I think at this point, you have to look at him and say, okay, now he's an artist. And this may apply to Michael Phelps also. But there are certain athletes that took it to another level. Muhammad Ali, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, and I would say now Usain Bolt, who took their sport and it made it an art. The mastery they have of it, that thing that they have that the other athletes don't have. Usain Bolt knew that he was going to win. Usain Bolt talked about, like, at 60 meters, he has another speed. And when he wins, he's looking at the other lanes. That's the thing. It's not like his head's down. It's not like he's leaning or going to die. He's looking at the other lanes to see, how fast do I have to run to beat you? That's him in the preliminary rounds. Just absolutely amazing. Again, just magnificent to watch. What Usain Bolt did was it was a beautiful thing. Yeah, he's the fastest man in the world. And I heard him say it, that, you know, people argue about the best basketball player or about the best footballer, meaning soccer, because to the world, soccer is football. But there's no argument with fastest man in the world. You race and you win, and he is that. It was amazing, beautiful to watch. USA basketball, listen, I don't know what's going on with these guys. I don't know. You know, they were talking about how they're hanging out on a cruise ship rather than the Olympic Village. I don't know if they're stopping at a party on the way to the game. You know, they've been watching women's beach volleyball. We all have. But fellas, maybe you need to focus on basketball, because they've got 2 3-point wins. Now, here's the thing. They did win. But this team has to win. There's no second place. There's no, not even a loss is allowed in this tournament. A loss is a failure. This team, it talent-wise, is head and shoulders above any team in the Olympics. The bench is 4 NBA All-Stars and an All-NBA team player. DeAndre Jordan, my Clipper, my man, DeAndre. Go DJ. Yeah. So this team should, like, they started out winning games by 50 points. I'm not saying you got to win every game by 50. Should have to win every game by 20. That should be the minimum. There's too much talent on this team, and they're getting by. Kyrie Irving is having an amazing Olympics. Melo Anthony is having an amazing Olympics. But it shouldn't be close. It shouldn't be close. And you guys better get it together and step it up and so on. It's fun to watch. Obviously, it's this all-star team. It sure ain't a dream team, but it is an all-star team, and it is fun to watch. But we expect more. Give it to us. Negatives in the Olympics, always. Green swimming pool for diving. Not sure what's going on with that. Just a bright green that they had to cancel a couple of days and get that together. Lochte, the swimmer, was robbed in a taxi cab at gunpoint. You know, you're rolling around Rio. They say it's dangerous. I guess it's true. I'm predicting the NRA will have a gold medal Olympian as a spokesman, because Ryan Lochte got robbed. I don't mean to laugh at him, but it was just the way the story went down, that the other swimmers knelt down when the guy pulled the gun, but Ryan said, I'm an American, I'm not kneeling down. Somehow, I don't buy it. You're in Rio, some guy pulls a gun on you, says kneel down, you kneel your ass down. The treatment of Gabby Douglas has been ugly. Gabby Douglas was the princess, the queen, the beauty, the star of the 2012 Olympics. You remember Gabby Douglas. Gabby Douglas won the all-around gold medal. You know, she was just, again, explosive and everything. She paved the way for Simone Biles, obviously. Well, she's on the team this year, and she hasn't had a good Olympics. She's hasn't medaled. She's come in close to last in some events. People are all over her. They're getting on her about her hair, which they did during the last Olympics. They get on her about she didn't hold her hand over her heart. She just stood at attention during the national anthem. She wasn't smiling when she was in the stands, not competing in an event she wanted to compete in. Get over it, people. This is how fast we flop, right? This is how fast we change. And this is the downside of it. The woman gave everything she had. The woman did fantastic in 2012. And how much work to get back? How many gymnasts make a second Olympics? I'm thinking not many. So it's bad. And the other bad thing about gymnastics, and I joked about this, right? I did a joke about the pedophile watching women's Olympics because they're little girls. But the sad thing is, the scary thing is, and I didn't know this, it's true. It's true that there is a history of sexual abuse and cover-up in USA women's gymnastics. There, I'm reading this article, and oh my God. I mean, and not a little bit, you know. William McCabe, a Georgia coach, allowed to molest vulnerable girls and women for years. Now he's serving a 30-year sentence. The USA Gymnastics, who runs the whole thing, admitted under oath they routinely dismissed allegations about predatory coaches and failed to alert authorities to the problem. It is just unbelievable. Girls going on starvation diets to make their coaches happy. As I said, the coach from Georgia is doing a 30-year sentence. Marvin Sharp, 2010 National Women's Coach of the Year, later accused of touching an adolescent's vagina. He was arrested in 2015. He killed himself in jail. James Bell, Rhode Island coach, he's on the run. Served 8 years on child molestation charges. Man, not to mention the physical beating these girls take. And I'm not saying the physical, like when I say physical, I mean, you know, running, jumping, and a lot of injuries, supposedly second only to college football. That is bad, but that's their choice. You choose as an athlete to compete, and you know you may get injured competing, but you do it because you love it. But the sexual abuse of young girls, stop. I mean, this isn't even the concussion question in football. This is plain and simple. Stop. Why aren't they arrested immediately? How do they allow this to go on? I love the gold medal winners, but not at this price. It's a damn shame. So I don't know what to say other than it's, like I said, it's a damn shame, and I hope that it's come to an end. It's not perfect. Listen, sports isn't perfect. The Olympics isn't perfect. But this is a phenomenal event, and I've been loving it. I didn't mean to bring that down note, but we got to accept the truth of everything about the Olympics. Watching the Olympics, watching these people who train all their lives, the stories of athletes, older athletes competing, young athletes competing, athletes. There were some swimmers who are like they were kids and they watched Michael Phelps and now they're on the team with him or competing against him. These are the stories that are about the Olympics. And you make America great again. Excuse me. Look at the women Olympians and tell me what's not great about America. Tell me that's not the American success story of no matter what your background or where you're from. You worked hard and you competed and you made it to the top of the world representing your country. Yeah, make America great again? No thanks. It is great. Don't need you to bring it back to the old days. All right? I've said it before. I'll say it again. There are no good old days. The good old days are right now. America's great right now. And the Olympics is our best and our brightest being showcased. And that's why it's worth it. So, okay, sorry. Off of the soapbox. And as for Gabby Douglas, listen, Leslie went down from Saturday Night Live. They invited Leslie down to the Olympics because her tweets are hilarious. I hope she talks to Gabby Douglas, because Leslie went through the same thing when Ghostbusters came out, all this social media hate, and she handled it. So I hope she teaches Gabby how to handle it. Okay, what's going on back at home? Donald Trump's an asshole. Nothing new. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. He had a great week. He kicked a baby out of a rally. He asked his Second Amendment crazies to kill Hillary Clinton. And he claims that Barack Obama... Well, first he claimed Barack Obama started ISIS. Then he claimed Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton started ISIS. It's ridiculous. It's a waste of time. I'm not going to give it any more press than that. We're doing beautiful at the Olympics, not so beautiful at home. Milwaukee, so it starts. A man, Silval Smith, fatally shot by a cop in Milwaukee. It seems a cop was black, but this guy was a criminal. He had a stolen gun, but it was the tipping point. It was the wrong guy, okay? You're not, you can't say that this guy was innocent or anything like that, but it was the tipping point, and there have been riots in the streets of Milwaukee. People have been shot, businesses burned, etc., etc. I had no idea that the racial situation, relations, whatever you want to call it, was so bad in Milwaukee. I've been to Milwaukee. It seemed like another city. Sure, it had its problems, but it didn't seem so bad. It turns out Milwaukee's the most segregated city in America. And it's very interesting reading this article, because this article was written by a Canadian, so someone from the outside looking in. I'm not going to read the whole article. I'll just say that the suburbs... Milwaukee, population 600,000, is poor, strongly Democratic, and 40% black. Its suburbs, known as the WOW counties, are wealthy, Republican, and white, exceptionally white. 96% white and 1% black in Washington County, 95% white, 2% black in Ozaukee County, 94% white, 1% black in Waukesha. Now, even the Packers, who are the symbol of Milwaukee, all-white crowd is at Maddie's Sports Bar in Waukesha, 25 minutes away, at the Skybox Sports Bar. Crowd's entirely black. So, why does this matter? Besides the fact that the riots... This is what happens, okay? And it was said in Brown versus the Board of Education about segregation. Separate but equal is inherently unequal. For some of the problems for the people in Milwaukee, like for instance, black people in the city get an inordinate amount of traffic violations, okay? Seemingly minor traffic violations, $100, $200 fines. Milwaukee suspends the license quicker than anywhere else in the country for an unpaid fine. Now, you don't have your license. You can't get a job because you can't drive to work because there is no public transportation to get to these suburbs or new places where the jobs are. Now, there are white people in suburbs saying, well, if you paid your fine, and that's true, except you have to. It's a system. The system's broken. You have the black schools, which are poor, which give you a less than satisfactory education. Now, with this less than satisfactory education, you can't really get a job, or if you do get a job, it's a low-paying job. Now, you get a ticket, okay? And it doesn't seem like much, but you know something? If you make $5,000 a month, $200 ticket isn't much. If you make $2,000 a month, if you're making $500 a week, then the $200 ticket, that's 10% of your monthly income. That becomes a much bigger deal. And when the police are targeting you and giving you more of these tickets, you see, this is how it works. And it's a tangible, it's a real thing. And it's a shame. John Henson, $44 million player with the Milwaukee Bucks, tried to buy a Rolex watch. Drove to a store in the suburb of Whitefish. Before he could enter, white employee locked the door and called 911. That's what you're dealing with. You know, and this article has a bunch of stuff about black people being lowlifes, they're lazy, blah, blah, blah. And that, you know, the governor, holy shit. Scott Walker against unions. And there was a mayor in one of these suburbs that helped low-income housing be built. He was called a nigger lover. His windows were shot out, and he quickly lost his position as mayor. So, Jack Chivarito, that was his name. Chivotero, I'm sorry. This happened in 2010. In 2010. Not in 1960, not in 1964, not in 1946. In 2010, for trying to help with low-income housing, his windows were shot out and he was called a nigger lover. And you're wondering, why? Why is there a race riot going on? Unpaid driving fine can result in a 2-year license suspension, more than twice as long as a suspension for drunk driving. This is like the crack thing where we had white people arrested for possession of cocaine get a slap on the wrist, and a black person or a Latin person gets possession of crack and goes to jail. They're probably still in jail from the 80s. You know, I love America, and like I said, I love what we're doing in the Olympics, but this is real too. So make America great again. Make America a white suburban nation. Make America segregated again. Make America, no. And on that topic, I'm gonna hit on another thing that's really bothered me. A lot of black people talking about leaving the Democratic Party. The Democrats have done nothing for us. It's just lip service. They Democratic control through welfare and handouts. Listen, you want to leave the Democratic Party? Okay, leave the Democratic Party. First of all, do you really think the Republicans are going to do anything for you? Stop telling me the Republicans are the party of Lincoln and the Civil Rights Act. That was a different Republican Party. The roles have switched. Now, do you really think that if the Republicans were controlled the White House and the Congress and were nominating Supreme Court judges? Look at how much damage has been done to the Voting Rights Act and to the Civil Rights Act and to affirmative action now. Think if they controlled the whole thing, how bad would it get? Look at health care. You know why so many people don't have health care? Because Republican governors are turning down the money. Republican governors are turning down federal funds that would help impoverished minority communities. So stop blaming Barack Obama. Okay, stop saying the Democrats will do nothing for you. Get out and vote in the midterm elections. Vote for a governor. Okay, become part of the Democratic Party and pressure. Look, Hillary's far from perfect. Okay, Hillary is a politician and Hillary's too mainstream. I know that. I support her because she's the best we got. Get involved in the party and push them to be more liberal. Get your agenda on the ballot. That's what you got. But to leave the Democratic Party and do what? And do what? Let the Republicans take over? Are you fucking kidding me? Really? That's your solution? I don't understand it at all. Huge strides have been made. We got a long way to go. But you look at these Republican policies. They want to take America back. They want to make America great again. You know what they consider America great? 1950. That's what they want. I'm sorry, but this angers me. The level of ignorance to think of this, to leave. No. Change the Democratic Party. Don't leave the Democratic Party. And finally, and again, I don't even know. There's a level of crazy. There's a level of crazy that I don't know how to deal with. So here we go. Terry Holcomb, the executive director of Texas Carry. This guy walks around carrying a Glock on his hip and an AR-15 slung along his back. And he's upset. C.J. Grisham, another one, president, and one of them is a Reverend Terry. Yeah, Terry Holcomb's a reverend. They're upset. You know why they're upset? Because they can't open carry their guns into a courthouse. Let me say that again. They're upset because they can't open carry a gun into a courthouse. In what world, in what parallel universe does that make sense? And Terry's mad because he's like, why can't I carry my gun when I go in to pay my property taxes? This is harassment and persecution. How great is your life? How great is your life when your idea of persecution is you can't take an AR-15 into a courthouse? Man, I can think of about 200 million people who would love that to be their biggest problem. Texas is the Texas, what the hell? They actually have a law in Texas that you can't post a sign banning weapons from a public place. Now, the weapons themselves are illegal, like in a courthouse, but you can't put up a sign saying no guns in the courthouse because that would somehow infringe on the gun owner's rights. I think the infringement is you force him to read. I think that's the problem. You're making him read. In America, some bitch, I don't need to read anything but two letters, AR, and one number, 15, some bitch, NASCAR. I don't know. See how my podcast changed? See how happy I was when I talked about the Olympics? And now I'm talking about this gun crazy, bring guns to court day. I'm done. I love you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Who's Paying Attention, for listening to me. Sorry, the podcast is sporadic. I got some stuff coming up. It's going to be very cool. I'm bouncing around L.A. Friday night, the 19th, I'm going to be doing a show called Good Heroin. There won't be any Good Heroin. I'm just doing a show called Good Heroin. It's going to be in the Silver Lake area at a bookstore called Stories, followed by Friday and Saturday night, I'm on the 10 p.m. show at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. Next Wednesday, the 23rd, I'm back at the Laugh Factory again. Things are great. I'm happy. I'm enjoying the Olympics. I hope you are too. Let's not give in to the crazies. Who's paying attention? You are, and I thank you for it.